From the culture wars to politics, from the hypocrisy of PayPal to the man who believes he's a woman now believes he's a dragon, we've got it covered today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So people wonder, at what point did you take stand it? At what point do you say enough is enough? At what point do you say, doesn't matter what it's going to cost me, I've got to do something? Oh, we've been at that point for a long time now. Finally, I hope that people are waking up that were slumbering before, or people are waking up who really thought, no big deal. I really hope they're waking up to the all-out assault on religious liberties, to the all-out assault on moral sanity, to the all-out assault on Christian values in many parts of our country today and other countries as well. And I'm here to be your loyal alarm with a wake-up call to stir your heart and to give you courage to stand. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Number to call, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. I've got an important new article that is about PayPal, and I'm encouraging you to send a message to PayPal with your money, meaning to let it be known to them that because of their hypocrisy and because of their targeting of Christian values, conservative values, how about common sense values, at the same time that they're expanding their business to work in Cuba, time to send them a message. We've also got some new videos, so go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Yeah, Joey, let them know why you canceled the account, for sure. Let them know your reason for doing it, if you haven't. For those who don't know, because North Carolina has said, we don't want men in ladies' bathrooms, locker rooms, shower stalls, and public buildings. No, I'm not making this up. Because North Carolina has said, we don't want that. Overturning a radical, wrong-headed bill that was passed earlier this year in Charlotte, PayPal has now said that they will not expand their company into North Carolina, into Charlotte. They were supposed to bring in $3.6 million in revenue and 400 new higher-end jobs. They said they're not going to do it because everyone must be treated with dignity and respect. Oh, hang on. What about the women and the daughters, the mothers and the daughters, the women and the children? Are they not to be treated with dignity and respect? What about the rape victims who say, please don't let a male in my bathroom, even if it's a harmless transgender individual, please don't do that. And don't open a door where any heterosexual predator could put on a wig and dress and walk in and no one could stop him? What about treating them with dignity and respect? And to PayPal, I say this. If you want everyone to be treated with dignity and respect, and that's such an important value to you, why are you expanding your business into Cuba? Why are you expanding your business into a communist country with decades of human rights abuses that continue to this hour? And why do you work with countries like Saudi Arabia that execute practicing homosexuals? The hypocrisy of it is staggering. And many in good conscience have said, we are sending a message to PayPal. We've used PayPal for many years on our website. It helps people and serves people. We are looking into alternatives even as I speak. A lot to talk to you about today. 866-34-TRUTH.
Go. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So yesterday, the governor of Mississippi signed into law a religious freedoms bill, a religious protection bill. It's a shame these things have to be done, but they have to right now because of the force of the bullying gay activist movement with its giant allies and big business in Hollywood and the sports world. The obscenity of it for the NFL to threaten to not consider Atlanta for a future Super Bowl site, which brings in mega bucks to a city. For the NFL to threaten the state of Georgia, because the state of Georgia wanted to pass a bill saying that pastors would not be required to, quote, perform a marriage ceremony for quote, two men. That a Christian school would not be required to hire someone whose views completely differed with theirs. I mean, bare bones, common sense, religious freedoms. For the NFL, for Disney Corporation, for others to threaten a state, and then for the governor to cave under that. This is outrageous. These are fundamental religious liberties. Our nation was founded on freedom of religion. There is hardly a foundation of our nation more precious, more basic than freedom of religion, and with it, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. And yet there is an all-out assault. So if you have a PayPal account, this is what Family Research Council is encouraging you to do. When you have a PayPal account, let the company know where you stand on their decision to side with extremists over public safety and privacy. Send a message to them, and if they relent and recant their ridiculous decision not to bring business to Charlotte, great, do business with them. If not, act in conscience. Let me also point this out. PayPal was perfectly willing to come here as of 6 months ago. PayPal was perfectly willing to come to Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm not in Charlotte, but near it. PayPal was perfectly willing to come to Charlotte a year ago when the laws were exactly as they are today. Earlier this year, Charlotte City Council passed a wrongheaded bill. It got overturned promptly by the state. Charlotte also went beyond its constitutional rights within North Carolina. So we're back to where we were 6 months or a year ago. Where were all the protests 6 months or a year ago? Where were the protests from Bank of America, Wells Fargo? Why wasn't the NBA threatening then? So this is utter hypocrisy on the part of PayPal, and they need to be held to account. What a tragic shame that Governor Deal, who campaigned as a conservative Christian standing for traditional values, that he caved in Georgia. And when he quotes Jesus to back his decision, that makes it more all the more ugly. What a shame that the governor of Arkansas caved, that the governor of Arizona caved in recent months or in the last year or two. What a shame, because all you need is a few more states like North Carolina, like Mississippi, whether standing for freedom of religion, whether standing for public safety. All you need is a few more states, and soon enough, people have to back down with all this insanity. Well, we're not going to do business with you because you want to keep men out of women's bathrooms. What kind of world are we living in? 866-348-7884. We start in Toronto, Canada. Daniel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Go ahead.
I was wondering, I guess as a Canadian, I've been watching the political process down south with a lot of interest. And I was wondering if you can comment on, I guess, what I perceive now as the tyranny of the left and how there's this violence and there's this almost a sense of self-righteousness that many members of the left have. And I was wondering if you could kind of tie that in with, I guess, the new atheist movement that we see going on around too.
Yeah, it is extremely intolerant. The only way that a nation can really enjoy its freedoms to the max is when there's recognition of the value of each human life, that human beings are created in the image of God. that every human being has dignity and value and worth, and that with respect for one another, you can have freedom to disagree. Basically, what happens, and the reason we have the freedoms we have speaking here in America, can't speak to it in detail in Canada, but the reason we have the freedoms we have here are these things go directly back to our core religious beliefs and values that were at the founding of our nation. So right from the start, there were Jewish colonists that were here, and they were guaranteed freedom of religion. And then you had some who were Protestant, a minority who were Catholic, and then differences within the Protestants. So there were certain freedoms there. And at the founding of our nation, you were free to be a skeptic. You were free to be an atheist. But when you have the left take over, they are intolerant. The ones who claim to be tolerant are completely intolerant. The ones who speak of diversity mean my way or the highway. The ones who speak about being inclusive are totally exclusive. So if you look at nations that become completely atheistic, be it a Stalin's a Soviet Union, be it an Albania, when they were atheistic, became the first officially atheistic country, they end up being totally intolerant, completely totalitarian. And the same way as we see the rise of the radical left and the rise of gay activism, as I've said for years, those who wanted to come out of the closet now want to put us in the closet. And more recently, people have said to me, people like you belong in jail. So it's extraordinary to see, but it is a sad reality. And there's no desire for tolerance. There's no desire for diversity. It's basically you do it our way or we're going to take away your liberties.
But would you also say that, I guess, the rise of the left is in many sense, I guess, kind of a good thing for the Christian church simply because now churches do have to take a stand? Because I guess like when Christianity was, I guess, pretty prevalent in America in the 60s and 70s or like maybe even earlier, it was pretty lukewarm. It seems that in history, when the church is facing a crisis, that's when its greatest leaders do end up kind of coming out into the forefront.
Yes, it's good, like a heart attack can be good for someone who has had bad eating habits all his or her life. In other words, it's a wake-up call. It's forcing us to action. It is getting us out of our comfort zone. It's getting us off the sidelines. It's awakening us to the reality of the spiritual war that we're in. Yes, all true. It would be better, though, to make a lifestyle change before you have the heart attack. It would be better for the churches to wake up before their rights and liberties are being threatened and before their kids are being exposed to gay activist curricula from nursery school. But yes, it can be something for good, but it's unfortunate that it takes this. It would be far better that we were sober-minded. Look, if Daniel, in all candor, if we had been more zealously following Jesus, more zealously loving our neighbors, more zealously standing for righteousness, more zealously preaching and teaching the word and addressing controversial issues from the pulpit, none of this would be happening in America, and probably not even in Canada, although the conservative Christian population there is smaller, but certainly not in America. This has happened on our watch. The same way with abortion. If 1/10 of the believing church in America for 1 year got seriously engaged with the issue of abortion, the entire culture would be completely, dramatically changed in terms of abortion. So it's the same kind of thing. To paraphrase something Francis Schaeffer once said, every abortion clinic needs to have a sign in front of it, basically saying, open by permission of the local church. Let me take it one step further. We never would have been talking about the redefinition of marriage if heterosexual Christians had done a better job preserving marriage as God intended it, preserving marriage for one man, one woman, united together for life. Instead, we've had no-fault divorce in the church. and we've allowed other aspects of deterioration of marriage in the church, no wonder the door has been opened to completely redefine it. That's the bad news. The good news is, oh, you better believe it's time for awakening. Oh, you better believe it's time for the Church of North America to wake up. And that means on our faces, repenting of sin in our own midst first and crying out for mercy and then saying, God, whatever it takes to make a positive change, whatever I can do to bring about positive change, here I am. Send me. Use me. Thank you, sir, for the call.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's an article that I read last night by conservative columnist John Hawkins. When did it become controversial to keep men out of the women's bathrooms? Yeah, a simple question. When did it become controversial to keep men out of the women's bathrooms? The lieutenant governor in North Carolina sent out a response to PayPal saying they wouldn't bring their business here. He said, if we protected one child from a predator, to paraphrase, if we protected one woman from a predator, from an assault, if we help one woman, it was worth it. You don't put a price tag on that. 866-348-7884. A joint statement. Speaker Tim Moore, House Leader Phil Burge, and several GOP legislators in both chambers attacked both the city of Charlotte and Mayor Roberts. Quote, when Charlotte Mayor Jennifer Roberts teamed up with a convicted child sexual predator to pass a radical bathroom policy allowing men to use girls' locker rooms and bathrooms, the governor warned her the legislature would take immediate action to protect North Carolina families. If Jennifer Roberts, Attorney General Roy Cooper, and the far-left political correctness mob she's unleashed really care about the economic future of her city, they'll stop the misinformation campaign immediately and start telling the truth about this common-sense bathroom safety law before more damage is done to the city she was elected to lead and the state Cooper was elected to protect. A statement released Tuesday by NC, North Carolina GOP Chairman Michelle Nix, attacked PayPal directly, saying, after PayPal was forced to settle after violating economic sanctions on Cuba, Sudan, and Iran, and even process payments for someone looking to buy nuclear weapons technology on the black market, the California-based company now is a problem doing business in North Carolina. This is corporate hypocrisy and bullying at its worst. And Family Research Council's Tony Perkins released this statement. PayPal might be the left's friend, but it's no pal of North Carolina's. The money transfer service announced this morning that it's canceling the company's Charlotte expansion because the state won't force young girls to share bathrooms and showers with grown men. Company CEO Dan Shulman is so outraged that North Carolina listens to its people and not out-of-state radicals that he's moving his new branch to a different location. Good riddance. Anyone with half a brain shouldn't want that kind of extremism operating out of North Carolina. Anyway, there was a time not too long ago when most corporations would have probably moved out of a state if it did allow such lunacy. Well said, Tony Perkins. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Newark, New Jersey. Ken, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Brown. I just want to make two quick points. One is with the bathroom, and the second is with same sex.
Go ahead.
Okay. With the bathrooms, I don't see all that big elaboration that the rate that you guys are going about. I think the best thing, what they should do, just make the bathroom smaller. Because I go to restaurants where there's just one bathroom for male and female. When one is in there, the next one cannot go in. the fast food restaurants, them, I don't want to call those.
All right, but hang on, though. First, not everyone has the money to redo all their bathrooms. Second, you have to have a certain amount of bathrooms available based on how many people are in a place. And third, why inconvenience everybody? Because you're going to have bathrooms, but you can't just have single bathrooms. You cannot. No one can afford to just, if you need 30 bathroom facilities for 30 people, build 30 separate bathrooms in a building, or 20 or 10 or whatever the number is. But why impose the struggles on a tiny minority of people on everybody else? It's like we're going to take all stairs out of buildings because you have people that use wheelchairs. No, you have a ramp for the wheelchairs, but everybody else takes the steps or the elevator if they want to. So why would you impose the struggles of a tiny group of people, most of whom have a mental issue, their emotional issue they're struggling with, impose that on just the normal life of everybody else?
All right. Okay, the second point was that the same sex, I think if a person is in business, say I have a business, like the bakery, and same sex wants to come in and buy something. That shouldn't bother me.
Of course not.
I'm open for business. My thing is, as long as you're paying your money, because.
Well, what if someone came into you, a Satanist? You're a baker, right? And they said, I want you to bake a cake for me that says, Satan is Lord and Jesus is dead. Would you say no problem because it's business?
How are you going to bake a cake like that?
Well,
you mean
what?
Icing a cake like, you mean put the icing in?
If a Satanist wanted you to do it, of course you're not going to do it. You're a Christian. God forbid you'd even think twice about it. So the same way, if someone says, I want you to bake a cake for your Muslim baker, I want you to bake a cake and I want you to put a silly cartoon face of Muhammad. No, I can't do that. It's a violation of my religion. Okay. Same way, you go into a bakery and you say, hey, I'd like you to bake a cake for me. It's going to be for my partner and I. Joe and Jim are getting married. No, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. Everyone should have the right to do that. It's fundamental. Hey, thank you, Ken, for calling in. I do appreciate it. You know, when I said Phil Burge, I knew something sounded funny. There was, whoops, oh, my pen, it slipped. Oh, I got it. It would bother me if it was all the way there under my computer monitor. Okay, Phil Berger, of course, in North Carolina. It was just a typo in my email. But, of course, Phil Berger that I quoted a moment ago. Hey, I've got 90 more minutes of radio. Some of you can only listen so long on radio, but I got 90 more minutes. You can keep listening at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Just click on Listen Live. I do want to say seriously, I hope those of you that still are voting for Donald Trump will reconsider. Just his horrific, temperamental, whining, dishonest, falsely accusing, sore loser announcement after getting trounced in Wisconsin last night is enough to say the man does not have integrity and character. And his flip-flopping on abortion, three different positions in 3 days, a little over a week ago, and one thing after another, I mean, you talk about a campaign self-destructing. I really urge you to step back and reconsider your support for him. It's a mistake, and I'll say it plainly. If you don't like me for it, fine, but you'll thank me later for being honest. Remember, you can get a signed and numbered collector's edition of my brand new book, The Grace Controversy, due out in less than a month, signed, numbered. This we only do for the first ones that come in for the first printing, so it's a collector's edition. They're normally much more expensive, but this time just $20, postage paid. Go to AskDrBrown.org to order, AskDrBrown.org, or call 1-800-278-9978. That is 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's a big, big question for everyone that's listening. You consider yourself a transgender advocate, or you yourself identify as trans. What's the test? I've asked this before. I'm going to ask it again. What's the test? You say, well, no. You sit down with psychologists and they discuss the issue with you and they identify you as having gender dysphoria. It used to be called gender identity disorder, but they want to take the word disorder out of it, just gender dysphoria. Oh, okay. So it's all based on a psychological evaluation. Would that be the same, excuse me, as a psychological evaluation that determines someone was schizophrenic? Yeah, I imagine it'd be the same. Or whatever other diagnosis someone would get, that a psychologist sits down, they interview, they ask you questions, they may ask you to respond to certain tests and things like that. And based on that, they say, okay, you have gender dysphoria, or you're bipolar, or you're schizophrenic. But in each case, that's a problem. That's a disorder. That's a diagnosis. We don't now celebrate that, or we don't now make special categories for that. That's a disorder, and we have compassion on people. Okay, you're suffering from depression. All right, that's a serious problem. We don't say, well, you're a terrible sinner if you're a terrible sinner if you're schizophrenic. You're a terrible sinner if you have gender dysphoria. No, we say, all right, you've got a problem. We want to help you deal with that problem and try to correct it. As opposed to, okay, if someone is really schizophrenic, that we say, okay, we will isolate your two different personalities and recognize both of them. No, we don't do that. Or if someone is bipolar, we don't say, okay, let's celebrate the highs and cry during the lows. And we try to move them away from the extremes. Sometimes it's through medication or other things. From everything I understand, even transgender advocates would say that the science in terms of the brain and development of the brain and what causes these things, beginning with little children, no one's downplaying the trauma of these things or the reality of them to the people suffering. But the fact is that even the advocates would say our knowledge of the brain, how this operates in this regard, is, quote, primitive. So why are we turning society upside down because of the struggles of a tiny percent of people and struggles that will massively put out others and open the door to outright predators? What kind of mindset is this? It is the natural growth and outgrowth of LGBT extremism. That is exactly what it is. That is what we are dealing with. And it is high time to wake up. If you haven't read my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, can I encourage you to? Look, I wish I could press a button and download the information from that book into the mind and heart of every pastor and leader and believer in America. Yes, it would sensitize your heart. Yes, it would give you greater compassion for those struggling. But it would give you a backbone of courage. We have been talking about these things for a reason. All right, I am going to get right back to the phones when we return. Got a bunch of folks on hold, so when we come back, going straight to the phones, be sure to read my article, PayPal Scorns Conservative Americans While Embracing Cuban Communists. You can read it by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on Latest Article. While you're there, if you're not connected with us on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube, do so. If you don't get our e-blasts, two or three key e-blasts a week, please do so. Just click on the email icon at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Your calls as soon as we come back.
The line. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're going straight to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Fairfax, Virginia. Kay, welcome to the line of fire.
Hi, I had just 3 points that I would like your feedback. One was a person's core beliefs, and if they have compassion for the newborn, is really foundational. And then what I noticed, two things, is Donald Trump, in last week, he was very clear about him feeling that a person who committed the death or murdered a baby in their third trimester was committing murder, and he stated that very clearly, particularly with relation to the obstetrician. Whereas, on the March 10th debate, Ted Cruz, when asked about his viewpoint about adoption by gays and gay marriage, he frankly stepped back from the position of a pro-traditional marriage stance and deferred and wavered, saying he believed in states' rights. And he lost my vote right then.
Ah, okay. Can I just jump in with that? First, Donald Trump is anything but pro-life. He may be getting there, but he has no foundation for his beliefs. He was absolutely unclear. He said that one statement responding to Chris Matthews, saying, yeah, it was hypothetical, but yeah, the woman should be punished. Of course, that created an outrage in the pro-life community as well as in the pro-abortion community. Then he reversed it. Then he reversed it. Three complete reversals in a period of less than 72 hours. And then he claimed that MSNBC didn't air the whole interview, which they did. It's complete, typical Trump dishonesty. And he's even admitted that what made him become, quote, pro-life was that a friend of his was going to have an abortion and didn't. And then the kid ended up becoming very, very successful. And he said if the kid hadn't been successful, he never would have noticed it. So I guess you don't abort the successful babies. But you missed the point with Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is, if on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as being a conservative, if Donald Trump is a 3, Ted Cruz is 100. Okay, I mean, he's completely off the charts conservative, but he's a constitutionalist. And according to the Constitution, if something is not explicit in the Constitution, it's up to the states to decide. So he's always going to be that. He would appoint very, very, very conservative justices. Absolutely. He is unbendable on those. Look at his congressional voting record. He is the most anti-establishment, strong conservative candidate that's ever been presented to run for the office really in decades. But his view is strictly constitutional. If it's not mentioned in the Constitution explicitly, it must be treated by the state. So does he want to see same-sex quote marriage overturned? Of course. But to him, that's supposed to be done on the state level. So he's just being consistent there. He's militant on these positions, but he's just being consistent.
Well, another thing about character that I use as I'm older is I look at a person's, do they have discernment, restraint, and prudence? Two things. And I guess I'm plugging for Donald Trump because I just see God has revealed this to me. When there was a bit of violence at his campaigns or his rallies, immediately he canceled the Chicago rally. It wasn't even a question of does he want to get the support there. If it was an issue of other people getting hurt, he canceled it. He was decisive. The other thing is the person that had committed some kind of a physical act of violence, he had the opportunity to throw the book at them, to have them, you know, behind 7, 8, 9 counts of this and that. Again, he used restraint. He had compassion for the person. They were put under, you know, arrest for interfering in a place they hadn't been invited, but he didn't throw the book at them, which was a man having kindness. And I still, when I heard him, his voice say that he felt that it was murder to commit murder against a third trimester child, I was really convinced. I think that
let me just be candid because you're saying a lot. I want to interact. Can I be totally straight with you?
Yeah.
You're being deceived. That's not the Lord revealing that to you. You're being deceived. Donald Trump has been absolutely irresponsible with his speech. He said, you got to rough the people up badly. They come in here. He said, I wish I could punch the person in the face. When a white guy sucker punched a black guy leaving the building, he said he would consider paying the guy's legal fees. And this is after the guy said, next time I may have to kill him. He has incited more anger with his irresponsible speech. He has put out lying, deceitful comments one after another. Once again, last night, blatant lies in his statement after his loss in Wisconsin. Blatant lies about Ted Cruz. I mean, the media is all over for him about lie after lie. You've got and the whole Chicago thing, he went into a place. There are plenty of people who think the whole thing was set up by Donald Trump. He went into a campus area knowing that this was going to really incite all types of resistance. The police felt there was no reason to cancel the event. He canceled it, and now he looks like the martyr of the left. So the fact of the matter is, he has been the most irresponsible candidate in my lifetime. I'm 61, so I'm not a spring chicken either. His rhetoric, his attacks on others, his demeaning comments about women, about immigrants, about a handicapped reporter. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Okay, let me add this. There was this thing, Naked America, they put up a semi-clad ad of his wife, which was demeaning and an attack on his wife, and she's not running for candidacy. So what did he do? His campaign manager, or whoever it is, in a very gentle, spirited way, pragmatic, said, I think that Ted Cruz's campaign should ask them to stand down and to denounce.
But it has nothing to do with Ted Cruz. It's illegal. But hang on, Kay. Donald Trump likes the picture of his wife. He thinks it was a great shoot. He said she's a beautiful model. It was a great shoot. What bothered him was they put it out as if it was something negative. That's number one. As soon as Ted Cruz heard about it, he said, it's deplorable. It's inappropriate. I don't like it. He immediately repudiated. What does Donald Trump do? He threatens Heidi Cruz.
How did he threaten Heidi Cruz?
He said, I'm going to have to spill. He brought her into it. It had nothing whatsoever to do with Ted Cruz or Heidi Cruz. It was an anti-Trump super PAC. It was a Facebook ad for $10,000, okay? It's Trump's campaign that made something into it. It's illegal for Cruz to have contact with these other super PACs. But when he found out about it, he denounced it. Then immediately, Trump blames it on Cruz, lie number one, then number two, completely unpresidential, said, I'm going to have to spill the beans about Heidi Cruz as if she's got something to hide. That is low life. That is something a teenager doesn't do. And then he retweets a picture. He then retweets a picture trying to make Heidi Cruz look bad. This is child play. This is if my 15-year-old granddaughter did this, if my 9-year-old granddaughter did this, I'd be ashamed, let alone the man running to be the president of the United States. This is shameful conduct, Kay.
Well, okay, I'm a woman, and if I was a man and my wife was greatly shamed to the American public, I would do what it was necessary because I'm her husband to stand behind her.
But Kay, what does that have to do with attacking Ted Cruz's wife?
Well, wait a minute. You're saying that him supporting his wife's beauty was an attack on Heidi Cruz? I'm not seeing it that way.
Oh, all right, Kay, you're deceived. You are sadly deceived. May the Lord wake you up to reality. Everything you have said about Donald Trump is completely contrary to fact. The only explanation I have is that you have been spiritually deceived. I say that with love and concern. The Cruz campaign had nothing to do with the Melania Trump photos. Donald Trump did not think they were bad. He is proud of her nude photo shoot. What bothered him was it was sent out by a super PAC trying to make it as if it was a bad thing that she posed nude. Furthermore, Donald Trump then attacked Heidi Cruz, said, I'm going to have to spill the beans on Heidi Cruz. There are no beans to spill. I'm going to have to spill the beans on her. It had nothing to do, nothing whatsoever to do with Ted Cruz. It would be if you insulted my wife and then I went and punched somebody else in the face. That has nothing to do with it. Okay, you're being spiritually deceived. God has not revealed this to you for a fact because you are contrary to reality here. May the Lord awaken you. May the Lord have mercy. 866-34-TRUTH. Shall everyone say together with me, wow. We go to Richmond, Virginia. Brian, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you today, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I'd like to send out kudos to the governor of North Carolina for standing ground on that bill. You know, I just think that God will bless that state so much more, even if these big businesses decide to pull their money out of the state. And Lord, I just hope people in America wake up. I just don't even understand what we are thinking in this country. And I went to the Lord and asked him, and like he put in my heart, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. But now it seems to be different. What's wrong is now right, instead of what's right is wrong. So,
it's one of those days. Yeah, it's one of those days, Brian, where everything is turned upside down. And it's either going to completely collapse or there's going to be an awakening. I believe God's going to bless North Carolina. If the governor stands strong.
He's going to. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. If he stands strong, the Lord's going to bless him like he's done everyone in Bible who has stood strong.
North Carolina will thrive and prosper. Yes, sir. It's a shame, of course, in Virginia that the governor there vetoed what would have been a religious freedoms bill. But with people like you, Brian, standing up, the tide can turn. God bless you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Look, if someone said, I've really prayed, and I believe I'm supposed to vote for Donald Trump, and, you know, I don't like his character, but somehow I believe God's going to use him as a president, I don't see it like that, but that's your prerogative. If you say, God's revealed to me that he is the most gracious and self-controlled and careful with his words. No, God didn't reveal that. That's contrary to fact. God will not reveal to me that I am a Martian named Elvis Presley living in Timbuktu. He's not going to reveal that to me. It's contrary to fact. He's not going to reveal to me that right now I'm flying on an airplane doing a circus acrobatics, because that's not reality. So that's why I was as forceful as I was. When the caller says, God revealed certain things. No, when they're contrary to fact, no. If you say, I prayed and I believe Donald Trump's going to be the next president of the United States, it seems counterintuitive, but I believe it. Oh, well, let God be God. You know, you pray, you come to your conclusions. 866-34-TRUTH. Gastonia, North Carolina. Jim, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I have two questions for you I'd like you to comment on. The first one is, I have researched this the pedophile extent in the United States, and there's hundreds of thousands of pedophiles all over the country. Kids are abducted. Kids are raped and murdered. Why would anybody, like a mayor or a governor, in their right mind, make a decision to allow people to take advantage of a situation like that?
Yeah. Why open the door even the slightest possible crack? And again, so everyone understands, we are not saying that the vast majority of people who identify as transgender are sexual predators or pedophiles. No. What we are saying, if the law says, if Joe identifies as Jane, Joe can use the ladies' room. So it's clearly a man. He's got a wig and a dress. He's clearly male. He walks into the ladies' room. Without that law, you could say, sir, I'm sorry, this is a ladies' room. But I identify as a woman. I'm sorry, sir, this is a ladies' room. Okay, you can do it. Once that law is passed, you can't. So how do you distinguish Joe, who genuinely believes he's Jane, from Joe the pedophile, Joe the sexual predator, who will now put on a wig and dress to get into a shower, you know, into the locker room, the YMCA, or the bathroom somewhere, either just to check people out or to look for prey. It is social insanity.
Right.
And yeah, you're 100% right, sir.
And the other question I have for you is this PayPal that is refusing to come to Charlotte now that the governor has made his decision on this. Why would the CEO of PayPal accompany Obama to Cuba, which he did?
Yes, when
Obama went down to Cuba to visit with Castro's brother, he accompanied him down there.
Yeah, they are expanding their operations into Cuba. As I mentioned in my latest article, PayPal scorns conservative Christians and embraces Cuban communists. Jim, PayPal has accounts and business in Saudi Arabia, which executes homosexuals. they work with other countries around the world that in no way, shape, size, or form are they going to allow a man in a lady's bathroom. They're probably a mob would kill the person.
Yeah. And well, why would they make that decision on Charlotte then?
Because it is political correctness and hypocrisy run amok. That's all it is. It is part of the bullying. It is part of the hypocrisy of the radical left, and we have to expose it. You're 100% right. Look, the same with Apple. Oh, it's not right. If you're going to have your religious liberties, we're not going to work in your city, in your country. Oh, you work with China, and you probably underpay workers in oppressive conditions in China with all their human rights abuses. You work with Saudi Arabia. You work with these other countries. But a state that says, you know, we want to keep our bathrooms safe, we're not going to work with you. A state that says, you know, we want to make sure we preserve religious liberties, won't work with you. It is hypocrisy. And one way or another, they will suffer for it at some point in time. Of course, Jim, you were spot on with your questions. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to the Bronx, New York. Dottie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. I'm calling to talk about an incident that happened on the train in New York City this weekend. I think it was on Sunday. I was sitting there. My back was not facing toward the people. These two guys, Hispanic, were preaching the gospel in Spanish and English. And then after a little while, some guy started, he got up, this white guy, he got up and started screaming, "I am offended. I am offended. Why don't you shut up? If everybody came here and started all preaching their religions at the same time," and whatever else he said. So I got up. Some people started yelling. I got up and I turned around. And then I started shouting at that guy. And I said, "I'm not offended." I said, "You get out of here. You leave him alone. I'm not offended. This is the word of God." And I said a lot of other things. And then he said, "Come with me to those guys. I'm going to take you to the authority or to the people that run the train station." And he started screaming at them. And I went over to the two guys, and I said, "Don't go with him. Don't go with him. Who does he think he is? You don't have to go with him." And one lady was shouting out to him, "Get out of here. Get out of here." And so I just kept speaking back to him and whatever I said about the word of God and so-and-so. And the door closed, and the people left. And as a result of that, I ended up, there was two gay guys sitting right almost opposite me, and I started speaking the words about the word of God to them in some degree, and witnessed to a lady next to me. And I found a Christian lady that was sitting on the side there too, because when she had spoke out against it, I said, "Are you Christian?" She just said, "Yeah." So I stood up for those guys' defense. I said, most of the people wouldn't get up and do anything. These guys would just, that was just terrible.
Well, Daddy, first, that's a good, courageous New Yorker there. And look, I understand someone could say, you know, whatever the announcement is, whether you're announcing a sale at a store, whether you're preaching Jesus, whether you're preaching a mosque, I could understand someone saying, hey, look, it's a train here. You know, of course, the subways are loud, right? So it's, you know, you got to speak up. Look, I've preached on subways. I have friends that have preached on subways. But it's as long as it's legal to do it, then you do it. And it's just kind of part of the fabric of New York. There are other places, when I lived in the D.C. area, couldn't do it. That was a different thing on the metro there. But if you can do it, great. When people get hostile, hey, stand up. I'm glad that it didn't turn into a violent conflict or anything like that. But Dottie, thank you for the call. That's the good New York spirit there. And yeah, the fact that this guy's going to say, "Come with me," who is he to say that? All right, maybe lives were touched as well. All right, friends, we've got a bunch of you on hold. Stay right there, all right? Stay right there, because I'm going to be taking calls in the next hour, and you'll be the top ones. You'll be the first ones. Everyone who calls in the new hour is going to be after you, so stay right there if you can. I'll be taking calls within just a few minutes. And look, in the midst of all this, our hearts need to be grounded in the grace of God. Our hearts need to be grounded in the security of God. Find out how you can get my brand new book, The Grace Controversy, by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, to those still sleeping, to those still slumbering, to those still on the sidelines, what are you waiting for? Wake up and get in the game. From the culture wars to politics, from the hypocrisy of PayPal to the man who believes he's a woman now believes he's a dragon, we've got it covered today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
How do you like this from the Evening Standard? In England, from this Monday, schools should consider mixed-sex toilets so transgender pupils feel comfortable. All schools should consider introducing gender-neutral toilets, changing rooms, and uniforms to make transgender pupils feel more comfortable, teachers will be told. The insanity continues. It is time that we wake up. It is time that we stand for public safety. It is time that we stand for gender distinctions. It is time that we make a difference. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. I saw a report earlier today that the government, American government, is going to suggest that children in schools play with opposite sex toys, so boys play with girls' toys and girls play with boy toys. And this is the continuing moral madness that we are dealing with. This is not transphobia. This is not transphobia. This is not having some irrational fear or hatred of those who identify as transgender. It is simply saying this: the fact that a tiny percent of the population struggles with gender identity issues does not void out male and female categories. The fact that a tiny percentage of the population is blind does not take away the reality of sight. The fact that a tiny percentage of the population is deaf does not take away the reality of hearing. The fact that a tiny percentage of the population struggles with gender identity does not take away the reality of male and female distinctions, which are what make the world go around after all. So yes, there continues to be attack on the state of North Carolina for saying we want to keep our bathrooms and locker rooms safe. And yes, the attacks are now coming against Mississippi for saying we stand with religious freedoms. But I'm telling you, friends, I've been saying this junk was coming for years. This attack was coming for years, and others were saying it as well. I'm telling you, if we stand up, the bullies will back down. It happened in the city of Houston. Houston was threatened with Super Bowl won't come to Houston and so on. And the people of Houston overwhelmingly said, we want to keep our bathrooms and locker rooms safe. We want to keep men out of the shower stalls, the ladies' shower stalls. They sent that message out. They voted overwhelmingly and passed it. And the NCAA Final Four was played in Houston this past few days. And yes, the Super Bowl is on schedule. You stand up to the bullies, and the bullies will back down. And if enough states have the courage to not bow down to these lies and to not bow down to the financial pressure, if they will stand strong, God will bless them, and prosperity will come. And for every business that moves out, better, bigger, stronger businesses will move in or will be grown from within the state. And they will refute this lie that you got to go the way of the radical left if you're going to prosper. Absolute nonsense. I got a lot to talk to you about today, including the man who became a woman, who became a dragon. The word became in quotes. But as soon as we come back, I'm going straight to the phones. 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is a joy to be with you today. Be sure to check out my latest article, PayPal Scorns Conservative Americans While Embracing Cuban Communists. Send a message to PayPal. Let them know that you're upset with them saying they will not bring their business to Charlotte, North Carolina, because we want to keep our bathrooms and locker rooms safe, and we want to protect our women and children. Send a message to them. This is the same PayPal expanding into Cuba. Talk about the height of hypocrisy. If they want to treat everyone with dignity and respect, well, tell that to the people of Cuba. Tell it to other countries like Saudi Arabia, where PayPal also does business. People are already canceling their account, telling them why. We are looking into other options because we've used PayPal as a service to our folks shopping on our website for many, many years or donating. We're looking for alternatives that will also serve our constituency just as well. 866-348-7884. We go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article to read this. I've got some new videos up as well. You don't want to miss those. All right, we go to the phones. John in Holbrook, Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, you can hear me?
Yes, I can.
Fantastic. Well, I just wanted to say a big shalom from Holbrook, from Beth Emmanuel.
Awesome.
Baruch Hashem, brother.
Praise God.
In all seriousness, you know, it's very upsetting what's happening. I was in Astoria, and they have a lot of LGBTV, whatever it is, LGBT, you know, gay activists walking around. And one of them, I walked over in love, and I shook his hand, introduced myself. I told him that I was a Christian, and I said, you know, in all due respect, I have a 7-year-old son. And I said, well, how do you feel about this new law? You know, obviously, you know, he was a gay progressive or whatever, and he was basically, pushing his, agenda. But I said, how do you feel, as a father, I have a 7-year-old boy. I mean, if I'm in the bathroom, and I have a woman that comes in dressed as a man, and they go to use the urinal or whatever the case is. I mean, that's very confusing. And what happens if I had a girl and it was a man, I said, these things aren't right. I mean, to put it, you have to put it in perspective here, And it's funny because after I addressed it in that, he kind of shut down, It's almost like he didn't even know what to say at that point.
Mm.
It's a very deceptive agenda. The reason I originally called is because you made a comment about Donald Trump, and my aunt came over the house, and the whole family's there, and we were discussing like, what do we do? Because if it comes down to a Trump or a Hillary Clinton vote, what do we do? I mean, as a Christian, what do I do? I mean, you're standing between a rock and a hard place. What do you do?
Yeah, here's the thing. We're not there yet. We're not at that point. So I know in New York you haven't voted yet, and New York looks like it's strongly Donald Trump. But Ted Cruz, I endorsed early on when it seemed unlikely he could do it. I knew the only way he could make it was if God was with him. And I'm not saying I don't know who God is raising up. I pray for God's choice for the president. But we're not at that point, sir. And that's the key thing to remember. We're not at that point where it's Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders. Obviously, for me as a moral conservative, caring about the sanctity of life, caring about the meaning of marriage, and standing strongly with Israel, I could not vote for Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. But personally, I couldn't vote for Donald Trump either. So if it came down to Donald Trump versus one of those two, I would either have to sit that part out and vote for other candidates, or I would vote for a third party candidate, either that had a viable chance or to send in a protest vote. But in conscience, because of my tremendous distrust of Mr. Trump's character, because of my real concern of how he would act and what he could do as president and the responsibilities he could have and the decisions he could make and how that could affect multiplied millions of people, I could not vote for him in conscience. Early on, I remember the first debate, wondering how he would do. In fact, I was disappointed with the way he behaved in certain things. The thing, oh, that alienates people. You're the front runner. You got to step higher. And I remember thinking, oh, you know, as a debater myself, that wasn't the best way to handle this. And so I was not all out as dogmatic as I am now against voting for him. But I've come to that conclusion that in conscience, before God, I could not say, okay, I would vote for him. Unless between now and the elections, if he got in as a Republican candidate and he had a life transformation, then that would be one thing. Otherwise, no, I couldn't. And I'd have to either vote for other candidates aside from president or vote for a third-party candidate. That's just my conviction. 866-342, thanks for the call. And Beth Emanuel, man, old memories going back many decades there on Long Island. 866-342-TRUTH. We go to Boston. Ted, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I would just ask the question, why venture into politics? Why do you venture into politics and offer opinion? And just quickly, you know, when I love your program. I think you're a wonderful guy. I love your ministry. And when you're teaching Christianity, it's based on what? The Bible, the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a unequivocal source that we both believe in. And when you get into politics, it's based on, you know, polls and opinions and actually also the veracity of the person, the candidate that you
mm-hmm.
happen to be supporting at that time. And what have we learned from history, certainly in American history, certainly most recently with Obama, they say one thing, and then when they get in, it's something different. So it seems like you're offering an opinion totally contrary to, you know, as opposed to your what you're teaching on the Bible is grounded mm-hmm. on bedrock, and what you're offering in politics is you're standing on quicksand.
Got it. Yeah. Well, here's my response. That I appreciate the question. It's a fair one. Number one, I speak to lots of issues. Remember, I'm introduced every day as your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. We speak to issues having to do with abortion. We speak to issues having to do with the redefining of marriage. We speak to issues having to do with religious liberties. We've had guests on who've talked about human trafficking. So we talk about all kinds of cultural issues. We've talked a little about immigration. We would have talked more about it, except it's just not an area I have expertise in or felt to focus on. If I was stronger on economic issues, we talk about those because that affect every one of us. So for me, all this intersects. I live in this world. If we lived in the days of the days of slavery in the 1800s, I'd be addressing slavery. If I lived in the days leading up to the Revolutionary War, I'd be addressing whether we should rebel against Great Britain or not. So these are all things that are just part of life that we address. And just like Paul writes in the New Testament, he's writing to, you know, about being mothers and about being fathers and about, you know, how to work on your job or if you're a slave owner, how to treat a slave. But for me, all I'm doing now is applying the same grid to politics. In other words, I warned about President Obama. When he was Senator Obama, I warned that if you vote for him, he will be the most radical pro-abortion, pro-gay activist president we've ever had. And I hoped I would be wrong. I absolutely hoped I would be wrong. Sadly, I've been right. So what I'm doing now is based on scripture. I have tremendous concerns about Donald Trump, based on which I've aired those. Based on scripture, I have tremendous concerns about the radical left policies of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. I've shared those. Based on scripture, I feel good about what Ted Cruz has done so far. The only reason I endorsed the candidate, Ted, I've never done it before and I may never do it again, was because I felt we needed someone who would take on the political establishment. And that's the one thing that Ted Cruz did since he got elected in Texas in a way that no one else has ever done, taking on, quote, the Washington cartel. It's mind-boggling that he's done as well as he has. Now, beyond that, everyone has to come to their own conclusion as to who to vote for, but I'm going to apply biblical principles to politics just as well. And I ask constantly for input too. So, but that being said, I could talk about politics every day, all day, And I go days and days without saying hardly a word about it. So I'm just trying to be balanced and to be your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Hey, we got a break coming up, but last word is yours.
Well, no, I appreciate that. And the only thing I would offer real quick, I think you kind of touched on it. I don't agree that Cruz is that person, but represents that entity. But I think we have to stop, and I certainly have stopped, thinking in terms of Republican and Democrat and liberal conservative. We got to start thinking in terms of bought and paid for and not so. And that's the only reason I would support Trump is because I don't think he is the establishment candidate. I don't think.
Got it. All right. Hey, listen, we got a break here, but thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it, man. God bless you, Ted. Good talking with you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Before we go back to the phones, there is a statement put out, Tony Perkins, Washington update from the Family Research Council. Mississippi got it by facts, not fear. Thanks to Governor Phil Bryant, facts, not fear, went out in Mississippi earlier today. Bryant signed, this was yesterday, signed the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act into law over the threats from corporate America and LGBT activists. After the left's tantrum over North Carolina, where leaders denied men access to girls' restrooms and showers, most people started to see the liberal agenda for the extremism it is. Now, with the enactment of HB 1523, Mississippi is responding by passing religious liberty legislation that should be a model for every state. Despite big business bullies, a media misinformation campaign, and liberal scaremongers, Governor Bryant helped to fan the flames of a national pushback to the left's intolerance on the issue of marriage. Under this law, churches aren't the only ones protected from government punishment for their beliefs. So are businesses, wedding vendors, and even public officials. While the threats from corporate America continue to roll into North Carolina and Mississippi, the reality is that after the Houston voters killed the city's hugely unpopular bathroom bill in November, the momentum has been on the side of common sense. And Tony Perkins then commends the tremendous courage of Governor Bryant, like Governor Pat McCrory. And he has cemented his legacy as one of freedom. May God raise up courageous legislators, courageous governors, courageous mayors, courageous congressmen, a courageous president, people who do what is right rather than what is politically correct. God will bless them for it, long term and even short term. 866-34-TRUTH. We go back to Boston again. Marie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael Brown.
Hello.
This is Marie. I listen to you every day, but I don't get a chance to call. But this issue is, I just walked in from work, and this issue is really a thorn in my side. Why should transgenders, why should the gay rights have rights to another bathroom? It's like if I take my daughter, I have to take my daughter to the bathroom so I can make sure that there's no other folks in there. I mean, that's solely ridiculous. Why is it that they can have their rights? I mean, God loves all of us, but why should they have a right to talk about, men can go into the women's bathroom, women can go in the men's bathroom? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. You can't even take your child to the bathroom. You don't know if somebody's looking over the stall. I even sent a petition that I didn't want that bathroom bill. They had the nerve to send me a letter back talking about asking for money to help stop that. Why should I pay my money to have that stop? I'm from the old school. Every woman and man should have their own bathroom.
Marie, it's not just old school. It's common sense. You have a YMCA, right?
Yes.
You have the ladies' room. You have the men's room. And in the YMCA, you have the locker rooms where people can change or take a shower after a workout. Okay, there's a reason that one says men's and the other says women's. It's as common sense as can possibly be. So let's say a man who's genuinely confused, he genuinely thinks he's a woman. He's a harmless kind of guy. He's not a sexual predator, but he genuinely thinks he's a woman. And he comes into that same locker room and he takes his shirt off. He's got a, you know, hairy male chest. He's obviously not a woman. Is that fair to everybody else in there? And are they going to know, well, he's not looking at me because he's not attracted to women. That's not, and then what about, to ask this for the millionth time, what about the sexual predator who says, cool, I just put on a wig and a dress and I can go into the ladies' locker room and take my time changing and watch the ladies change or come out of the shower with a towel wrapped around them. I mean, it's not old school, Marie. That's just common human sense. That's reality. And look, when you're sitting at a doctor's office, you got to fill out a form and check off male or female. There's a reason. Men are different than women. The biology is different. The chromosomes are different. You can take the hormones, all the hormones you want. You can change the clothes. You can have sex change surgery. A man cannot become a woman, and a woman cannot become a man. Simple, common sense. At some point, America will push back against the insanity. And in the meantime, we do what's right. We reach out to everybody. We walk in love towards all, and we do what's right. And look, I said it first hour, just because some people are crippled and need to use a wheelchair does not mean you remove all stairs from all buildings. You say, well, that's not an analogy. We're not removing bathrooms. No, you are imposing the struggles of a few on everybody in the bathrooms. Crazy we haven't talked about this. Thanks for the call. It's crazy we even have to talk about this. Okay, so here we go. And we'll have this up in a video and a video and article form soon. It's called The Man Who Became a Woman, Then a Dragon. The Man Who Became a Woman, Then a Dragon. Here's how I started the article. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If perception is substituted for reality, there is no end to the social madness that follows. You do not just have a man being named Woman of the Year, Bruce Jenner. You do not just have a white woman who identifies as black, Rachel Dolezal. You have a father of seven who identifies as a six-year-old girl. Yeah, Paul Washed, known as Stefan Kina. You have a man who identifies as a dog named Boomer. You have a young lady who believes she's a cat trapped in a woman's body. You have a man who has his ears removed because he identifies as a parrot. Yeah, this is all real stuff. All real. With news stories, some with Facebook pages, with websites, videos. Now, you have a man who changed his identity to female, but who has now had, quote, her ears and nose removed to transform into a dragon lady with scales, a forked tongue, and a horned skull. But why not? More power to him, her, it. If that's what he, she, it perceives himself, herself, itself to be, why not? You say, Dr. Brown, you're making fun of these people. I pity them. What I'm saying is you do not celebrate them, nor do you turn the world upside down for them, nor do you provide a litter box if the gal who believes that she's a cat comes into your restaurant. These people need help. These people need our pity. They need our prayers. They don't need our fascination and our celebration. To me, that's the ultimate way to dishonor them. This is Michael Brown, and we will be right back on the Line of Fire.
Shake the
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. All right, so there is someone named Richard Hernandez. Richard Hernandez from Maricopa County, Arizona. He was born Richard Hernandez. I've seen pictures of him with a beard, proudly holding his son. All right. Well, then he transitioned to be a woman, but didn't have sex change surgery. So he transitioned to become a woman, but then determined that he was ultimately a dragon. He now goes by the name Eva Tiamat Medusa, Tiamat being an ancient Mesopotamian goddess. He identifies primarily as a mythical beast. Quote, I am the dragon lady, a pre-op male to female, meaning he has not had sex change surgery. A pre-op male to female transgender in the process of morphing into a human dragon, becoming a reptoid as I shed my human skin and my physical appearance in my life as a whole, leaving my humanness behind. Adding that his most natural self-awareness is as a mythical beast. Now, here's the reality. There is no more evidence that Richard is a woman than there is evidence that Richard is a dragon. And if you want to bring in Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner, there's no more evidence that Richard is a dragon than there is that Bruce is a woman. Or that Rachel Dolezal is black, or the Catwoman is a cat, or the Parrot Man is a parrot. So why is it that if we don't accept this guy as a dragon, that we have to accept him as a woman? If we don't accept him as a dragon, if we don't accept a woman who believes she's a cat, Norway is a cat, if we don't believe the man in England who identifies as a parrot, if we don't accept him as a parrot, why do we have to accept Bruce Jenner as a woman? There is no more biological or chromosomal evidence that he's a woman, that there's biological chromosomal evidence that Richard Hernandez is a mythical beast dragon. And on the list goes. Yet we have a society today that has collapsed in cultural madness, is collapsed into cultural insanity. And I, for my part, I'm going to continue to raise my voice and continue to speak up and continue to speak out. On the one hand, saying, let's pity people like this. Let's pray for people like this. Let us pray for those who identify as transgender that they can find a healing, transformative, freeing solution from the inside out. But the reality of the fact is, while they're struggling, we do not change all of society based on the struggles of a few. We come back, I want to go to the phones, and I also want to talk to you about grace. Grace. Being established in the Lord, being established in the love of God, being established in the kindness of God, being established in a right relationship with the Father so you are secure in Him, out of which comes a life of holiness and devotion, out of which we can find wholeness to help make other people whole. My brand new book out in just a few weeks, The Grace Controversy, is, I believe, just what the doctor ordered to help you understand grace and be grounded in grace. I'll tell you how you can get a special signed and numbered copy, collector's edition of the book when it comes out in a few weeks. I'll tell you that later in the show. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. Judy, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Well, hi, Michael. I'm so glad you've brought this situation up and are discussing this. I think people need to realize that, you know, morality and integrity is under fire. Christianity, it has been waged war on. And we really need to, you know, become aware and boycott the things that are not, you know, that are attacking us and our viewpoints. One thing I wanted to make a point of today is, you know, instead of having men and women on the bathrooms, I think they should probably end up going to, you know, the male sign with the I don't know, it's a circle with a...
Right. You're just talking about
arrow.
the logo, the male and female logo, as opposed to...
Yeah, but some people don't know what that is. Oh, it's a male sign. It's a circle
right.
with a
yeah, so,
arrow,
some people,
and the other one has a plus sign for a woman.
Right.
You know, no matter what you do to yourself after you're born, those signs are going to have to end up being on bathrooms because we got to know what's going in that bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the reality. If somebody was on hormone blockers from the age of 10 to, say, 18. Mm-hmm. So they didn't really develop as fully as they would as a male or female. Then they had sex change surgery early on. And then they looked, say, the guy looked more like a lady than anything else, and no one would notice who that person was walking into a bathroom. I mean, look, that's the reality. No one is going to know if someone looks fully like a male or fully like a female and has had a sex change surgery and they're in a private bathroom, you know, whatever the case is.
And but you take a good makeup artist today.
Right.
Oh, they can change their appearance so
right.
you could know it either.
Right, but the fact of the matter is, so look, no one is policing something like that. But when you have a guy who's, you know, a tall, big guy
right.
and wears a wig and has male plumbing and wears a wig, and puts a dress on. He has no business. He has no business whatsoever in the ladies' bathroom. You say, well, where is he supposed to go? Well, that's what he has to think through. If there's not a unisex bathroom somewhere, he has to think through before he puts on the wig, because no one is making him do that. Before he puts on the wig or puts the dress on, he has to think, right, there are social consequences with that. I'm not saying it's easy for him. It could be very difficult. But there are social consequences with those things. And look, as far as boycotting, Judy, obviously, we couldn't get on a plane. We couldn't use a credit card. We couldn't use a computer if we boycotted everybody that stood for gay activism. But there are times when things are so egregious, like PayPal. PayPal doing business in Cuba, expanding into Cuba, doing business in Saudi Arabia, which executes practicing homosexuals, doing business in other countries that are draconian with human rights compared to America, and saying they're now going to pull out of their plans to come into Charlotte, North Carolina, because North Carolina is determined to keep their bathrooms and shower stalls safe for women and children. This is the height of hypocrisy. We are looking into alternatives for those who support us online using PayPal or who buy from us online through our web store. We're looking to good alternatives that would be just as easy and convenient for people. I'm hearing from people already. Just saw someone tweeting me. Someone sent me a note earlier. They're canceling their PayPal accounts. Family Research Council is saying send PayPal a message. Tell them how you feel, either telling them you disagree with this or going the next step and saying, okay, this is your policy. We pull our account. At least send one message to one company that you don't do this. You don't slap America in the face and mock the common sense values of millions of Americans, and then go ahead and work with communists in Cuba without consequence. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Paul, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I just wanted to call and weigh in on the politics of everything, and I totally agree with you that I really believe that all of the shaking is God's grace on us. to wake us up out of the comfortable life that we've been engaged in for the past many decades in America as Christians. And I really believe that ultimately, I was reading just one of, you're right, it's ludicrous what's happening. And ultimately, you said it in the statement about the man who wants to become a dragon, is he wants to shed his humanity. And yeah. I really believe that's the underlying attack, is that attack against the image of God by Planned Parenthood. It's the attack against the image of God by the LGBT. It's the attack against the image of God by the atheist community and the Satan-worshipping community, is that they want to shed the humanity and the image of God inherent within. And so really what it is all the shaking that's occurring right now is God's grace on us to wake us up and call us back to real Christianity. That's intimacy with God and the preaching of the gospel, because there's going to be so much. I mean, these are the beginnings of the birth pangs, and this is the darkness that's coming. It's scary to me that it's going to get darker.
Yeah, and let me say this, Paul. Many times in history, it looks like this is the end. Many times in history, it looks like this is the final shaking, and it's just another birth pang along the way. Mm-hmm. Look at the tremendous upheaval that took place in the generations immediately after Jesus. And that was not the final end. And look at the upheaval in the early 20th century with World War I, and then mid-20th century with World War II. And then think of the Civil War, 500,000 plus Americans dead in that war, which dwarfs all our other war casualties since. There have been times of tremendous trauma, but this is one of them. And you hate for it to take this to wake people up. You hate for calamity or hard times or crazy politics or political extremism to wake people up. But unfortunately, we've been very complacent. Unfortunately, many pastors, preachers, teachers have not equipped people for battle as much as tried to help them have a happy life. And because of that, we've gone very, very soft in the church in America. And yeah, it's an urgent wake-up time and a very critical time for many reasons, for 1,000 different reasons in the life of the nation. May we get back to the basics. May God awaken us. 866-34-TRUTH. Charlotte, North Carolina. Charles, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. I'm responding to the comment you made earlier about we don't do away with the stairs for somebody in a wheelchair, because I have a sister who was also handicapped, and I would like to offer a different kind of comeback to both transgenders, parents, and so on, that are asking us to be sympathetic to their situation. And that is this, that, there are two incidents I'll give you about my sister, who had spina bifida, was paralyzed from the waist down all her life.
Wow.
But when she was in elementary school and got to sixth grade, it was old building, sixth grade up on the second floor, my mom asked the principal to move the classroom downstairs so she wouldn't have to go up these rickety old wooden stairs every day. He was our next door neighbor, by the way, but after considering the good of everybody, he decided not to. So she had to spend a year going up and down those stairs every day and to the bathroom.
Wow.
After she died at age 46, and her co-workers, I spoke to them in the hospital before she died. She worked at a factory, and her supervisor said how adamant she was. They were concerned for her safety there in the plant. She was adamant they would not treat her any differently than any other employee. And after she died, our niece told me that when our niece was a teenager, she always, of course, knew she was handicapped, but one day she said when we were going in this set of concrete steps with no railing, and I said, "Here, Eloise, let me help you," she took one of her crutches and slung it at my niece and said,
"Oh, boy.
Get out of my way, I am not handicapped." Now, what I think these parents and people need to hear is you are doing a disservice to your child or loved one when you are expecting the world to adapt to them because if my parents had raised my sister that way, she would have been further handicapped than she was. So we need to say, no, the world doesn't do that. This is an opportunity for someone with a disability to learn to overcome and be a stronger person because of it, not to be further handicapped by giving in.
Charles, loud and clear, we have a break right now. You said it all. And what a testimony of your sister's courage. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My colleague at The Stream, one of the places where I write on a regular basis, stream.org, my colleague at The Stream, one of the contributing editors there, John Zmirak, has written a powerful article. It's Religious Liberty versus Gay Sharia in Dixie. And he raises lots of excellent questions. Will Christian business owners, and in some cases Christian clergy, be able to follow their consciences in refusing to participate in same-sex, quote, marriages? Will state and local governments enforce on every citizen the dictates of, quote, transgender theory, allowing full-grown, biologically intact men who claim to identify as women to access women's bathrooms and locker rooms, among other absurdities? And then he raises these questions. One implication no one is talking about, but which you can count on gay radicals running with, is this. What about denominations that only ordain male clergy? Could biologically female students assert that they identify as male and demand enrollment in Catholic, Orthodox, and Orthodox Christian and Orthodox Jewish seminaries? Obama's Solicitor General already admitted during the arguments leading up to the Supreme Court's gay marriage decision that he foresaw yanking the nonprofit status of Christian ministries in schools, churches, and cathedrals that won't perform same-sex marriages. Why would government officials who are willing to persecute Christian bakers over a wedding cake and drive the Catholic Church and the Southern Baptist Convention into tax bankruptcy blanch at monkeying with seminary admissions to, quote, protect the, quote, civil rights of confused women who aspire to be ordained as male priests or rabbis? We can be morally certain that Islamic institutions will forever remain mysteriously exempt. Correct. In North Carolina, Governor Pat McCrory signed a bill overriding a local Charlotte, North Carolina law that would have let people who physically, psychically identify with the opposite sex use the bathroom of their choice. The result has been a savage backlash, with other state governments suspending official travel in North Carolina, federal agencies threatening to cut off millions in federal funding, and now a concerted effort by big business to cripple the state's economy. Of course, PayPal, we've been talking about that. If you haven't sent a note of encouragement to Governor McCrory, do so. If you haven't sent a note of encouragement to Governor Phil Bryant in Mississippi, do so. If you haven't written to Governor East in Georgia, expressing your displeasure for him caving, do so. And encourage your pastor. Pastor, speak about these issues. Weigh in from the pulpit. Give us a biblical perspective. Tell us what we should do in the schools. Tell us what we should do when these things come up in the place of business. From everything I know, the vast majority of believers want their pastors and leaders to address these issues, not to make it the main topic of every Sunday sermon, but to address these issues. I've just got a bunch of things I'm looking at here, but Nathan, I said East. Governor Nathan Deal. Thank you, Joey. Governor Nathan Deal. As I'm saying, it's like, is it, you know, it's actually, I realized who I was thinking of. and just someone with a similar name, but actually a musician. Now it comes to mind here. Yep, a musician. Actually, that's where I got the name confused. I didn't confuse the people. I got the names confused there. But look, friends, what does this all come down to? What does this all come down to? Comes down to the responsibility of the church. Comes down to the responsibility of the people of God doing what's right, speaking up, taking stands. Now, if you live in Charlotte, North Carolina area, if you're a business person, if you want to find out more about these things, there's an informational meeting that will be taking place at First Baptist Church. At First Baptist Church in Charlotte between 5 and 7 with attorneys from the Alliance Defending Freedom, giving information, telling what's really going on, and then a prayer vigil scheduled tomorrow night in front of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg City Building between 7 and 8 p.m. tomorrow night. So you can go over to the meeting at the ADF meeting at First Baptist that explains what's going on, explains the realities here, the bathroom privacy and safety bill, and then you can go across the street to the prayer vigil if you live in Greater Charlotte. Here's a report from WBTV. In Charlotte, the Charlotte City Coalition for Justice gathered Tuesday to announce their efforts to overturn HB2 and provide funding for the legal fight. Reverend Robert Tanner, who leads the coalition, said PayPal joins a list of corporate citizens expressing their reluctance to do business in the state. Hey, Matt, do me a favor. Just check on Reverend Robert Tanner in this report here. Okay, Reverend Robin Tanner, I can assure you the Charlotte Clergy Coalition for Justice represents a fraction of the clergy of the city. It does not represent the large majority of Bible-believing, committed Christian clergy throughout the city, nor does it represent a majority in any way, shape, size, or form. Any way, shape, size, or form of the believers in the city as well. Let's just see here. Let's see what we get when we type in Robin Tanner, clergy, interfaith group. Yep, just as I suspected. Robin Tanner of the Piedmont Unitarian Universalist Church. That's the kind of clergy. That is the kind of clergy that is standing against this bill. Unitarian Universalist, that says it all. All right, listen, friends, exciting news. Whenever I have a new book coming out, it's always exciting. I was asked to write this book by the publisher on the grace controversy to really establish people in the grace of God, to really establish people in what it means to walk by grace and be saved by grace and empowered by grace, and where some people have taken these wonderful truths and gone too far with them, with the erroneous message of hyper-grace. So my book, The Grace Controversy, answers the 12 most common questions I'm asked about grace: grace in holiness, grace in conviction, grace in forgiveness, grace in confession, grace in keeping or losing salvation. You'll find it really eye-opening, super practical, clearly written, full of scripture, a totally separate book from my book, Hyper Grace, and in fact, one that is a much easier read and will get you even more grounded in the grace of God in your own life. Normally, when we come up with a brand new book, we offer a collector's edition from the first printing. We sign the first 100, 200, 300, whatever it is, then I sign them to you with a scripture reference, and it could be $30 or $50. This time, just $20, postage paid for the signature edition when it comes out. You can pre-order. It'll be out in less than a month. Call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line, if the church doesn't wake up and speak up, then who will?